Rod's Pulse Podcast number 72, Blackboard World Interview, Wimba Collaboration Suite, and more. Yael Naim.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. About you, but I really like that song. That's by Yael Naim. She did that for the Apple's MacBook Air ad campaign. It's a song called New Soul, and Yael Naim has an album out at Amazon. I really like the song. You can hear the full song at the end of my podcast. Now for some of my picks from Podcaster Guide and e-learning news. I ran across an article I think you would find interesting. It's called The Power of Wikis in Higher Education. It's an interview with Stuart Mader, who discusses the use of wikis as a teaching tool. He says basically two things. First, that teachers can work together using a wiki to write the curriculum and lesson plans. And if you have multiple teachers teaching sections of a course and they need to teach from the same materials, it's a central hub in which they can use to collaboratively work. And of course, for students, it's great as a collaboration tool for group assignments and courses. So take a look. They talk about some other things I think you might find of interest. The other discovery I made was Google has yet another amazing tool. It's called Insights for Search. Now, it's a way for you to research how search terms have evolved over time, and you can compare different search terms. For example, of course, I was interested in the search term podcasting and podcast, and you can see from their graph displayed that podcasting didn't hit the charts at all until the third quarter of 2004. I started listening to podcasts myself in about November of 2004 when I started listening to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, and it's interesting to see how at least the term podcasting seemed to peak in mid-2005. That's when Apple added podcasting to iTunes. So it's a fun tool to play with, and it also shows you the regional interest for the different search terms. So, for example, in podcasting, got a higher score in Australia than the United States, and so on. So, interesting tool. Now, speaking of Google, Google came up with an open-source mobile operating system. Now, this is meant for mobile phones. The code name for the operating system is Android. It's been dubbed in the press as the G Phone. It's definitely going to be a competitor, I think, for the iPhone. In fact, I did hear that T-Mobile is coming out with it's the first G Phone, probably sometime around the first of the year. So I point to an article that talks about the rise of Android, so take a look. And one last mention is PodCamp Philly. I mentioned this last time. It's not too late to register. The registration fee is, I think, about $20. It's a new media unconference. So if you have any interest at all in audio or video podcasting, this is the place to be. It's being held on September 6th and 7th at Temple University, and I hope to see you there. Now you can find links to all of my picks on Podcaster Guide and e-learning news at www.podcaster-guide.com. Now for my main topic today, I interviewed Matthew Wasowski. He's the director of customer programs for a company called Wimba. Now I did this at the Blackboard World in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, so please excuse the background noise. I recorded this in the exhibition hall. But you can learn a lot about the Wimba Collaboration Suite. I don't have any direct experience with it, but I hear a lot of good things about Wimba. They have e-learning tools for synchronous and asynchronous learning. Some of the more unique applications they have, I think, is a vocal discussion board. And they have a virtual classroom with follow the speaker video. So as one of the students that has a webcam starts to talk, the instructor and everybody else on the virtual classroom would see who's speaking. So very interesting. Sounds like a great product. Without further ado, here's my interview with Matthew Wasowski. Matt, thanks a lot for agreeing to speak with me. Why don't we start out by assuming that my audience knows nothing about Wimba, and just to give them a quick rundown of what your product is, what it does, and what distinguishes your product from the competition.
So Wimba is a software company. We make collaboration software for colleges and universities and K-12 schools to teach online, but in a much more interactive and engaging manner. For a long time, an online course, the idea was sort of meant a text-based environment where students kind of went off on their own to just sort of read and study and didn't really have that feedback and sort of human engagement that you really need to be able to flourish. And so what our software does is we allow instructors and teachers to put in all kinds of different elements of audio, of video, of content creation and content sharing to really be able to get as close to kind of replicating and take all those elements of human collaboration but putting those online.
First of all, I guess, would you classify this as a class capture software, or is it more for asynchronous learning?
Sure. It's a combination of asynchronous and synchronous, and it's something we've been really proud of because we've really been able to cover all the different bases that go into online learning. So we've got a couple of products that allow for live synchronous learning with audio, video, application sharing, chat. We've got a couple of asynchronous software tools that allow for audio and voice, but in a self-paced environment. And so this actually gives a lot of flexibility to colleges. We found that even within one school, different subject matters are taught in different ways. And so where a foreign language class might need self-paced speaking exercises, we offer that, whereas maybe a business course might need to hold live classes over the internet to students located from their homes or workplaces throughout the world. We really kind of cover all those different bases.
From the IT point of view, what's involved? Is this something that's hosted at Wimba, or do we install it locally on our servers?
Sure. So here at Blackboard World, the software that we offer, it can actually be hosted by Wimba, or we can give a server to a university or to a school. But interestingly, only a very small percentage of schools actually opt to have a box on their own, a box to take care of themselves, just because of maintenance, extra headaches, and whatnot. So the majority of them allow us to just host it ourselves, and they pay us a licensing fee to be able to do that, similar to how Blackboard software is licensed as well.
Now, you mentioned some features that, I guess, discussion boards and chat and so forth, that might be products that or features that are already built into Blackboard. What are some of the features that you can only find in Wimba?
Sure. So it's a couple of examples. One of them, we have a full virtual classroom, which takes all the elements of a face-to-face classroom and really kind of smashes them together in the one interface. So you've got students can be logged on at the same time from anywhere in the world. They can all see each other, talk to each other. The instructor can share content just like he or she would in the front of a face-to-face classroom. We've got a podcaster, which is something certainly that's not offered by most other companies. We have all kinds of different vocal elements. Just like Blackboard has a discussion board, we actually offer a vocal discussion board, so you can manage in a foreign language course how fun it would be to actually be able to have students speak out loud and actually respond to people's postings vocally instead of textually.
Wow, yeah, I can see how that would be really important for language learning. Can the teacher see the student, or is it just the students see the teacher?
Sure. Teacher can see the student. Student can see the teacher, as it works in all different directions. Within our virtual classroom software, we actually have a really kind of a cutting edge feature that no software out in the world has today, which is actually follow the speaker video. So whenever a student starts speaking at his or her computer, within about half a second to a second and a half, the software automatically detects which of all the students who are logged in is speaking, and will automatically show that student's video image to everybody else who's logged in. So it really builds that sense of closeness of community, being able to see everyone logged in from theoretically anywhere in the world.
That's really cool.
on those live sessions, I assume they're being recorded and archived, and students, if they miss the class, they can play it back?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I wish that was something that I had when I was a student. I mean, what better way to study for an exam or review material than actually playing entire class back verbatim, hearing every single word that was spoken or written, seeing every single visual element that was presented? I mean, it just doesn't get any more helpful than that. And what's kind of cool is that we've actually, in our latest version within Archives, you can actually now download the audio file and be able to put that into our podcasting tool. So now you could actually listen to a recorded class in your iPod when you're exercising or walking or driving to class. So we've actually made it even a bit more portable now as well.
Do you support video iPods?
Right, actually, no, we don't do vodcasting right now. It's something we're definitely exploring, but right now, with the demand from the market, we go out of our way to talk to our customers to develop all our products. Obviously, we can't really do that in a vacuum, and they're all just calling for audio podcasting now. Really hasn't been much of a demand yet for video podcasting, so once that demand increases and we hear that from our customers, then we'll further develop that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember seeing a study where they, it was actually a very visually oriented course. I forget what the subject matter was, but they gave the students several ways to review the course, audio only, audio and video, and actually audio is more popular because you can use the audio when you're driving or riding your bike or walking. So I guess video is more convenient when you're actually sitting down and at a web browser.
Yeah, and we've actually also found that video in an online environment, actually more often than not, is a distraction instead of a bonus. We found that a lot of students, when they're seated at a computer, will end up focusing on the instructor, on sort of on the talking head, instead of the content that's being displayed on the majority of the interface that they should really be paying attention to. So even from a sort of pedagogical or instructional design standpoint, video isn't always that beneficial. So it just depends on how you really want to use it.
One feature I've seen is where the students playing an archive of a class, is there a way for them to take notes or add comments?
Yeah, what you can actually do, it's interesting. We have a chat comment or a chat box within the interface of our virtual classroom that actually remains live even when the archive is playing. So what we encourage students to do sometimes is watch an archive together, even though they're logged in from different places. And so if I'm student Joe and you're student Tom, we can actually still chat to each other watching a recorded class, so we can actually make real-time comments if we've got questions that need clarification.
Oh, that's pretty neat. How is faculty adoption? Is it a very steep learning curve? Is it something where they just have to have an AV person there, or do they just walk into the classroom and everything starts automatically?
Sure. Actually, like most other technologies, I mean, it comes down, I know this sounds like a cop-out answer, but it comes down to the comfort of the faculty member. At most schools, we really see a very typical pattern where there will be a pretty strong presence of champions, of early adopters, and once they start get a semester under their belt, then a lot of their peers will kind of look around and be like, oh, those guys, I hear they're doing some pretty interesting stuff, and that's sort of the typical pattern. So it usually takes about a year or so for that critical mass to really emerge at a given institution.
Yeah, I can understand that. Also, I was wondering if an instructor that's teaching in a totally online course they're going to do it asynchronously, can they sit down at their desktop and just record their content and then make it available to the students?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can record an archive. Obviously, you'd be really recording an archive by yourself. So you're sort of, the only kind of funny thing about that is that you're sort of talking out loud and there's no one at that exact moment listening to you. So that's sort of, you're talking into a vacuum a little bit. But that's a very, very typical use. It's a way, if an instructor might have a lot of time, they could actually record two or three lessons at one time and then distribute those every week after that and kind of spread that out for themselves. But yeah, that's actually a pretty typical application.
You're here at the Blackboard Conference, so I assume you integrate well with Blackboard. Do you also play with other learning management systems?
Yeah, we play with a lot of them. This has really been one of WIMBA's sort of bread and butters, is it, for a long time. We integrate more thoroughly than anyone out there with Blackboard and their different versions, both the learning system as well as Camposition and Vista. We also integrate with Angel, with Moodle, with Sakai. You can put links into Desire to Learn. So we really cover all the bases. And the point is that We know faculty have a lot of things to do besides learning new software technologies, and so if we can allow our tools to work within the systems that they've already been familiar with and comfortable in using for years, it's going to really reduce that learning curve, as you talked about previously. It reduces that learning curve that and just makes it so much easier to use if we can actually allow them to follow the workflow that they're already been that, or that they've been using for years.
I know some of my audience is going to be very interested in how this is licensed or priced. I won't, you know, we don't need to get into the detail, but do you have different models for charging? Is it university-wide, based on FTE, based on professor? How's it work?
Yeah, so it's based on FTE, similar to what Blackboard and Angel and Moodle all do. And it really, what's important about that is that, A, obviously for smaller schools, that gives them price breaks over larger institutions. But most importantly, it allows for that unlimited usage model. And as I was saying earlier, I mean, we know that so many different divisions, even within one school, have different needs. And you don't want to limit. You don't want to sell something like a concurrent seat license, which some people might be familiar with, which says you can only have 50 seats ever to use a product. I mean, how do you schedule that? How do you use it? And so what this does, our pricing model just really allows for unlimited students, unlimited faculty, unlimited use. Just use it as much as you can, go nuts, and that's really what we want to encourage.
I see. Yeah, that sounds good. How often do you do new releases? Is there anything new coming down the pike that you want to tout?
Yeah, we probably do more new releases that we can actually keep track of. The Wimba Collaboration Suite really consists of four or five different distinct products, each of which usually have one or two or three upgrades a year. So, I mean, really once a month or once every 2 months, there's something coming down the pike. In the last 2 months, for example, we released a new version of Wimba Classroom with downloadable audio, resizable chat, things like that. We released our new version of Pronto, which now incorporates video conferencing into it as well. So now you have video within an instant messaging environment. So coming down the road, we're going to be doing a lot of work with our Wimba Voice, which is something we hadn't actually upgraded in a while. So I can't reveal the changes just yet, but in the next few months, we've actually got a few more releases coming out. It's sort of exhausting after a while.
I can imagine. I appreciate that. Well, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me. I always like to end up with one more question. You probably haven't had a lot of time to see what else is going on here at the meeting, but is there anything you've heard about, anything outside of Wimba that you find exciting?
Yeah, actually, in the market, it's just really now. So personally, I've been with Wimba for 8 years now, which really makes me sort of a veteran or pioneer of the online learning space. And what I'm really seeing here is that the critical mass now has arrived for people who really do want to add those collaborative elements into their online courses. I mean, it was a long time coming. The ramp up was pretty slow, but in the last maybe 6 months, and I think the next 6 months coming up, is really when that sort of tipping point is going to arrive. And so it's really fun to actually see people get comfortable with their asynchronous courses, with their Blackboard courses, and they're all chomping at the bit to take that next step. I think that's really exciting for the market. And it's going to ultimately help students a lot. Students really crave that interaction with their classmates, with their instructors. And now I think the schools are finally ready to deliver that to their students.
Very good. Well, listen, thank you so much for talking to my audience.
All right. I definitely appreciate the time. Thanks for taking some time out today.
That's all I have for today. Don't forget to stay tuned and listen to the full song, New Soul by Yael Naim. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. La 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 la
happy end, 'cause you don't understand. Everything you have done, why is everything so wrong? This is a happy end, come and give me your hand, I'll take you far away. I'm a new soul, I came to this strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and love feel, finding myself making every possible mistake.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.